Welcome to the PwC podcast. We're launching into another deep dive today, taking a really interesting, maybe even challenging set of materials and digging into the core truths. Yeah, today it's quite an empathetic but also demanding set of sources, all focused on the journey of faith. And look, if you've ever felt that the Christian life is just hard, like unbelievably difficult sometimes. If walking strong feels more like, you know, stumbling around, you're definitely not alone and you're in the right place. These sources we're looking at, they tackle that feeling head on. They argue that the struggle, it isn't some kind of optional detour. It's actually presented as a necessary prerequisite. Before we can truly walk strong in faith, we first have to learn how to wrestle. And we mean wrestling with fear, wrestling with temptation, and yeah, wrestling with surrender itself.
That's exactly it. Our mission today really is to unpack this material and map out what these sources say is the actual path to spiritual maturity. And spoiler alert, according to these documents, it's not a quick jump to instant perfection, not at all. It's described as a slow, sometimes a pretty painful process, but it's a process where God's strength gets revealed through our human weakness. So we need to sort of trace the rhythm of this transformation starting right at the beginning.
Okay, let's unpack that. The core idea, the thing the source material keeps coming back to, is this fundamental truth. We wobble before we walk. Think about a baby learning to stand right. We often focus so much on the end goal, that steady, perfect walk, that we kind of miss the value in the wobble, in the stumble itself. Every pry, every fall, it's all part of building the strength, the coordination needed to eventually stand strong.
That analogy is perfect because it shifts the whole mindset, doesn't it? The sources really want us to stop seeing this struggle as like proof of failure and instead start seeing it as essential developmental training, God-ordained training even.
Okay, segment one then. The truth about the walk versus the wrestle. I really want to dig into this expectation gap because it seems to trap so many people. It doesn't matter if they're new Christians or they've been believers for decades. They expect this constant, effortless peace, you know, unwavering progress. And then they feel guilty or maybe defeated the second they hit doubt or temptation or fear, because the assumption is a real Christian shouldn't struggle like this.
Right. And this material offers a really profound, also uncomfortable counterpoint to that expectation. The sources argue pretty forcefully that God's design for maturity is not instant. It's intentional that he allows us to hit our limits, to wrestle with our weaknesses. Why?
Yeah.
So that when we do finally move forward, it's undeniably his power moving us, not just us trying harder.
So it's not like a spiritual workout plan where we're supposed to just, you know, bulk up our own inner strength?
No, that's exactly what it's not, according to this. That's the old way, the self-reliant way. The key takeaway, the mantra distilled from these notes, is crucial here. Before you walk, you must wrestle. It just completely repositions the whole Christian experience, doesn't it? The struggle isn't a detour from God's plan. It is the plan, or at least a critical part of it, the prerequisite for genuine, God-dependent walking.
Okay, let's make this concrete. Segment two, Jacob's paradigm shift in Genesis 32. The material points us right here. It's presented as the perfect picture of this wrestle-van-walk dynamic. Can you set the scene for us? Jacob's alone, it's night, and he's about to face his brother Esau after years apart. Years since he stole Esau's birthright. And he is absolutely terrified, knowing he probably deserves whatever's coming.
Exactly. Utterly terrified, alone, probably running through all his old tricks and plans in his head, which haven't really served him well long term. And then, out of the darkness, a man who Jacob later realizes God himself starts wrestling with him. It's this intense all-night struggle, physical, spiritual, everything. And Jacob, being Jacob, just refuses to quit that stubborn independence he always had.
And this is where it gets really interesting, right? As dawn breaks, Jacob's still hanging on, hasn't surrendered, but the fight has to end. So in that critical moment, God doesn't just like overpower him with brute force. He simply touches Jacob's hip.
Yeah,
and it wrenches it out of socket, leaves him with a serious limp for the rest of his life.
Yeah, and the sources spent a lot of time unpacking the meaning of that limp. Jacob gets renamed right then Israel, meaning one who wrestles with God. Powerful name. But the limp is the permanent physical reminder of that encounter. And the material calls it a mark of grace. Not defeat, not punishment. Grace. Why grace? Because that limp meant Jacob couldn't rely on his old speed, his cunning, his ability to run away or run ahead anymore. He couldn't lean on his own strength. He was forced, literally, to move differently, slowly, deliberately, publicly. It symbolized that his strength now had to come from surrender, from dependence on God, not from his own striving.
That's an incredible way to look at it. It wasn't just physical pain. It was like God removed his primary defense mechanism, his self-reliance. So if you're listening and you've been wrestling maybe with a particular sin or chronic fear or doubt, maybe you're not actually losing the fight. Maybe you're being transformed right there in the middle of it. The sources state it pretty clearly. Before God can use us publicly, he must wrestle with us privately. And that wrestling often involves dealing with our pride, our self-sufficiency.
That private wrestle is key.
Okay, moving to segment three. We've talked about the wrestle, but let's step back for a second. Before any of this wrestling matters, the sources say there has to be a starting point. They point us to John 3, Jesus talking with Nicodemus. Nicodemus, he had all the outward signs, right? Religion, discipline, knew the law inside out, but he was missing that internal transformation.
Right, and this conversation, it really defines the absolute starting line for this whole journey we're talking about, being born again. The material is careful to stress, this isn't just like improving yourself or adding some religious habits. It's spiritual rebirth. It's described as the specific moment God breathes new divine life, the Holy Spirit, into a person's heart, receiving a completely new spiritual nature. And this is so critical because, well, you can't really wrestle with God's nature or for his purposes unless you actually possess that new nature first. So synthesizing the process the sources lay out, the Christian life starts with birth, that spiritual awakening. Then comes the wrestle, that messy process of learning dependence, letting the Spirit lead, fighting the old ways. And only then comes the walk where trust and obedience become more consistent step by step. You just can't skip that first step. Birth comes first.
And as you're navigating this foundational process, being newly born, starting to wrestle with old patterns, it's so important to remember you're not meant to figure it out alone. The community, the church family, that's where we learn these steps together, isn't it?
Absolutely. Which is a good moment to invite listeners, if you're looking for that kind of community, to visit PWC Pittsford Wesleyan Church. We really believe that spiritual growth, learning to walk this out, happens best when we're doing it together, supporting each other through the wobbles and the wrestles.
Okay, segment four, the inner battle. Let's talk about what happens after the new birth. We have the Spirit, we have this new life, but the wrestle continues. In fact, sometimes it feels like it gets even more intense, right? This internal tug of war. This is the core theme. The sources connect to Romans 7, the wrestling of the flesh. The Apostle Paul captured this so powerfully in Romans 7, that daily battle so many believers feel. He says, basically, the good things I want to do, I don't do them. But the very things I hate doing, I end up doing them anyway. Listener, if that sounds familiar, maybe like your Monday morning. Yeah, you're in good company. Paul felt it too.
And what's fascinating is how the sources interpret this internal conflict. They're careful with the terms. The flesh here isn't just talking about the physical body. It's that old operating system, you know, the self-reliant ego that still wants to call the shots without God. Before salvation, sin just kind of ruled easily. There wasn't much of a fight because the old self was in charge. But once the Spirit comes in, now there's war. A real battle between the new Spirit-led nature and that old independent self. So that feeling of war, that struggle, it's actually evidence of new life. Paradoxical maybe, but true.
That distinction helps a lot. But okay, if the struggle is constant, even for someone like Paul, how do the sources define victory? How do we ever walk strong?
Ah, that's the crucial turning point in this section. Victory, according to this material, it doesn't come from just trying harder. That's often the flesh trying to fix itself, using its own power. No, the sources insist victory comes from yielding deeper, from surrender. It's that moment of honesty where you finally say, Lord, I absolutely cannot beat this thing, this fear, this habit, this temptation on my own, but I yield to you. I trust you can do it through me. That conscious dependence, that surrender, that's what wins the wrestle.
That completely shifts the whole metric for success, doesn't it? The sources really drive home this point. The Christian life isn't about perfection, it's about direction. As long as you're still yielding, still turning towards the Spirit, facing the right way, even amidst the struggle, that process itself is shaping you.
Right. The direction matters more than the speed or the smoothness of the path.
Which leads us nicely into segment five, equipped for the walk. So after this necessary wrestle, after learning surrender, the sources show how God then equips us, how he helps us actually walk and sustain victory. We're pointed straight to Ephesians 6. The command is clear. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Notice the source of the strength. It's not self-generated. It's borrowed strength.
And that borrowed strength comes with specific, practical, spiritual equipment. The armor of God. The materials detail the pieces. The belt of truth. Breastplate of righteousness, shoes of peace, shield of faith, helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And this isn't just, you know, a nice list of virtues. It's presented as actual functional gear for the ongoing conflict. If you connect this armor back to the wrestle we've been talking about, you see how practical it is. that shield of faith. It's not for sunny days. It's for when doubt screams at you, or when the enemy shoots those fiery darts of temptation or accusation. The helmet of salvation, that protects your mind, your thinking, when attacks come against your identity, your security in Christ. And the sword, the word of God, that's your offensive weapon. You use it when the enemy whispers lies about who you are, or what God is like, or your situation. The armor is how you manage the walk, even with the limp.
Yeah, the synthesis here feels really empowering. It's like you said, you don't fight for victory. You fight from a victory that Christ already won. The daily walk of faith is about administering, living out that achieved victory. So you can walk boldly, even if you don't always feel bold, knowing you're protected, guided, even if that limp, that weakness, is still visible.
Walk boldly, even with a limp. That sums it up well.
Okay, let's bring it together in segment 6. The wrestle that shapes the walk. Let's just reflect again on the purpose, the deep purpose behind whatever wrestling season you might be in right now. According to this material, God uses these times to confront those really deep-seated parts of our independent self. Mm. Things like pride, chronic fears, that relentless urge to achieve things in our own strength. And he's doing this not to crush you, but to thoroughly prepare you for a life lived in dependence on him.
We have to bring Jacob back one last time here. He limped for the rest of his life. And that limp, arguably, became the most powerful part of his testimony. It was the undeniable physical proof that he had encountered God in a life-altering way, that he survived it, and that he was fundamentally changed by it, marked by grace, remember. And the sources describe the fruit, the characteristics that grow in a believer who has gone through that fire, who has wrestled and learned to embrace the limp. Things like genuine humility, not false modesty, but real humility. A deep wisdom that often comes from failure and repentance. Real compassion for others who are struggling, and a deeper, more unconditional kind of love. These aren't traits you can just, get from a self-help book. They seem to be forged in the heat of surrender.
That final takeaway from the source material is just so powerful and comforting, too. Your wrestle is not a setback. It's your shaping ground. Don't despise the wrestle. Embrace the process, because that's where God is doing some of his most profound work in you.
So as we wrap up this deep dive, maybe just take a moment. Reflect honestly. What area of your life right now feels most like a wrestle, a real struggle? And be honest. Are you trying to walk through it mainly in your own strength, or have you reached a place of yielding, choosing to walk in his strength, even if that means walking with a limp?
So what does it all mean? I think this whole exploration shows us that God often intentionally meets us in the wrestle, right there in the struggle. Why? So he can bless us more permanently, more deeply in the walk that follows. Our source material kind of closes with this idea of prayer, not just any prayer, but that humble, almost desperate clinging to God through the struggle and a commitment to walking humbly afterwards, totally dependent on his might.
Thank you for listening to the PWC podcast.
And we invite you to join us this Sunday at 11 a.m. Here's a concluding thought to take with you. Your struggle isn't wasted time. Keep walking with God, one dependent, spirit-led wrestle at a time.